Guru, ಗತಿ
ಅವರು ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಔರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ದಿ ಎಕ್ಸಲ್ಟ್ ಟೀಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ದಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಲೋರ್ಡ್ಶಿಪ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ಗೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಪ್ರೇ ದಟ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಅಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಬೆನಿಡಿಕ್ಷನ್ ವಿ ಡು ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಅದರ್ ದನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಫುಲ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ
ಜೈ
ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ in this verse the words aparaka guru gati are very significant according to Srimad Bhagavatam the supreme lord is the ultimate fact of absolute of the absolute truth pramiti pramiti bhagwan iti sabde the absolute truth is realized in three features impersonal brahma laukas paramatma and ultimately the supreme personality of godhead bhagwan the word aparaka means liberation parga means material existence In material existence, one always works very hard, but is ultimately baffled. One then dies and has to accept another body to work very hard again. This is the cycle of material existence. Aparaka means just the opposite. Instead of working hard like cats and dogs, one returns home, back to Godhead. Liberation begins with merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Lord. So this conception is held by the Jnani Sampradaya. Philosophical speculators. But realization of the Supreme Personality of God is higher. When a devotee understands the Lord is satisfied, liberation of merging into the effulgence of the Lord is not very difficult. One has to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the impersonal Brahman effulgence, just as one has to approach the sun through the sunshine. It is not very difficult to merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, Brahman. If one is, one has satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada says that Aparva Guru Gati, the word Gati is the ultimate destination, ultimate goal of our life. And in this verse, the ultimate goal is described as you do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. So that's the goal of our life. That is what we should actually, that should be the sadhya, that should be the shreya. That should be the ultimate goal of life. So there is prayer and shreya. Prayer basically means things that are related to this material world, things that is temporary. Things that we want to actually achieve, a nice house, nice husband, nice wife, you know, lots of money, education and everything. These are all temporary things. These are things that is connected to this material world. So we have to understand that this is not the goal. The shreya should be that we should be doing anything and everything just for the pleasure of the Lord. So Bhagavan can be understood in three different ways. So there are three types of different kinds of transcendentalists. Transcendentalists means that those who want to transcend this material world. So the materialistic people do not know all these things. They are covered by the material maya. And they are only designed to enjoy this material world. So we have to get above that. So once people are frustrated by this, then first thing that comes is basically first is attachment to this material world. So these are the currents, they want to enjoy it. Once they get frustrated from this, then what they want to do is that there's no enjoyment here, there's no bliss here. So what should we do? The things that we should get out of this material world. So that's the first thing. How do we get out of this? Then they start actually doing speculation. I'm not this, I'm not that, I've got this body. I'm changing, the body is changing all the time. I'm the same person. People are dying all the time. So eventually they want to get out of this material world. Right? So these are the people who are called Mayavadis. Everything is Maya. But they do not understand who Krishna is. Right? Because of frustration, because of anger, right? So, eventually they come to a point where they want to merge into this supreme. Because they know that, let's get out of here. So Krishna is very merciful. When you want to get out of this place, then he lets you get out. Whatever you want, Krishna actually fulfills it. But where do they go? They go to this place called Brahmajyoti. And they try to be there. But the nature of the soul is Sachit Anand. So they are always looking after for bliss, pleasure. And what happens? There is no bliss there. So, Brahmajyoti is a place where there is no suffering. But that does not mean there is bliss there. Right? So, it leads to a point where the jiva gets frustrated. Right? He can be just like if somebody puts you under water. While you are under water, you are suffering. But once you come out, right, it flees. Oh, you are blissful. But it's not actually blissful. What has basically happened is that the suffering has finished. So there is no more suffering, and we mistake that as ananda. We mistake that as bliss. So jiva stays there for a while, and then they come down again. Come down to the material world again. And they go through the same thing again. They take bed. You know, when there is bed, there is bad, then there is definitely death. And in between is old age and disease. So, and then you go through the same cycle again and again. Then they want to actually, then the next group of people, these are called the who are going to have Brahman realization. Above the Maya Vedic bodies are called Brahman Anandis. So these people at least have some conception. There is Brahma, and they want to go there. They want to enjoy the bliss of Brahma. Because they know that there is no happiness here, let's go there. So these people have some knowledge. They understand that there is something superior to them. Even though they do not have the full understanding of it. But Mayavadis do not have understanding of this. Mayavadis are like this, you know. Suppose there is a sick person. He is in the hospital, right? And he can't eat anything. He is eating all those, those who have been to the hospital, they know what they eat, you know. Food without any salt, you know. It's almost unpalatable stuff. It's just to keep the body going, right? He's passing through urine and everything in bed, you know. His life is miserable, right? And then you can't get it, you know. When you get better, it's good, you know. You get to eat again. You get to walk again, you know. And the Mayavadis are thinking, you know, I'm already eating here, you know, I'm already passing stool and everything here. If I get better, I'm going to go and do the same thing. What is the point of it? Right? So they are saying the same thing, you know. Now we are servant of Maya, right? We are actually being saving the Maya. Now what you are asking me to do is, don't be servant of Maya, be servant of Krishna. So, I'm servant now, I'll be servant there, so what is the point? I'm eating now, I'll be eating then, what's the point? It's the same thing, they can't actually understand this. Right. So what they want to do? They really want to become God. Actually they want zero, they don't want to do anything, they want to basically finish anything. Mayavadi philosophy and the Buddhist philosophy is very same. In the end they just don't want anything, because they try to become God. It didn't work out, you know, because of it. But now they are fearful and they just want to basically give up everything. The next group of transcendentalists are Pramedi. These are the people who actually meditate on the super soul. So they sit down, they do the asana yoga. So these are the six stages. There are eight stages. The first six stages is basically karma yoga, because it's all to do with the body, how to sit down properly, how to breathe properly, and all those things. And in the end, the seventh one is where you have, what is the seventh one? Last one is Samadhi.
Dhyan and Samadhi.
Right. So Dhyan is the one where you actually meditate on the Lord. So that's when you become spiritual. The first six step is actually become material. And the six steps, once you actually get to the six steps, there are a lot of other things, because with that it comes Siddhi. The last stage is basically where you can match your breathing in and breathing out. So by that you can sit in the water, for example. Because if you stop breathing, you can be sitting anywhere. Right? So with this, a lot of other siddhis that comes up. You can travel as fast as you want. You can go, you know, you call the soul travels and visits all the places. You know, you go and see the whole Brahman. You know, so these are the next group of people. But when they meditate, finally they come to the level of dhyana and samadhi, when they actually meditate on the super soul. The super soul does not reciprocate with the living entity. He is just there, you know, watching everything. And because there is no reciprocation with the soul, there is no relationship with it. Right? And in the end, they keep meditating and they say, oh, it would be nice to mention to them. Right? So it basically becomes like, okay, let's get, you know, when they leave their body, I'm going to mention to them. But at least they have a little bit more understanding that something is more superior to them. Right? And when they meet a devotee, and he explains that above these three, above these two, there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, one. Right? Then they start actually understanding the true nature. So the constitutional position of the living entity is Jiva Sarupahai Nitya Krishna Das, that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. Once we understand that, that we are servant of Krishna, there is a master there, right? And the seventh stop is only to please the Lord. Because this is what they say, we do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. So this is the goal of life. I was just thinking the other day, you know, with the Bhakti Charu Maharaj not being so well. And I was thinking, how should we pray? You know. And there's a Rath Yatra going in Jagannath Puri. And I was thinking, you know, what is the form of Jagannath? Why does he take that form? It is because of his separation from his devotees. And he has taken that form. Now he hears, by his mercy, he has given some of his pure devotees to come and preach to us. But he is also feeling separation. Now, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, you know, they are not ordinary people. They are not suffering for their karma. They are beyond that. They are pure devotees. Now, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj, whatever they are going through now, you know, so much suffering, it's not because of what they did in their previous life. It's not like us, we are suffering because of all those things. It is because, yes, they are suffering. It could be because the reaction of the disciples, the karma of the disciple, they are suffering. But I was thinking, why is Krishna putting him through all this? Why is he going through all this? Why did Srila Prabhupada go through all this? And I was thinking, it is for our purification. It is not for his purification. I can guarantee when he leaves body, whenever it happens, Prabhupada will personally come and take him. There is no doubt about that. Krishna will personally welcome him. But why is he going through all this? It is for our purification. Because at this time, you know, everybody is thinking about him. Those who are devotees, those who are in his school, they are praying for him. But how should we pray for him? So do we say, Krishna, keep him here, please, you know. Let him suffer more for us. It's just like what the Christians say, you know, let's give all our karma to Christ so that he can suffer for us. Is that the way we should pray? Or should we say, Krishna, do whatever you please? But we need him. We need the association of pure devotees. But at the end of the day, it's your choice. You do whatever you choose to do. So all those prayers that people are putting in, because devotional service does not mean you just worship Krishna. Thinking about a pure devotee, a Vaishnava, is also devotional service. It's very purifying. Because bhakti, the devotional service, only is given by from a pure devotee. From a devotee. Krishna even doesn't need bhakti. But he has given this license to his devotees to give bhakti to whoever they choose. And even then, Krishna doesn't want to give bhakti to that person. If the devotee gives the bhakti to a person, Krishna is forced to actually give bhakti. There are many examples like Prahlad Maharaj, his father. Krishna came and killed him, but at the end of the day, because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to save him, Krishna, Narasimhadev, had to actually save him. So, times like this, you know, what do we learn from this? That we should be thinking Maharaj is sick, we should get him. We have to understand this. It could happen to us one day, so. And from what I have heard, you know, whatever you read, if you are following up Maharaj's things, it is not a very pleasant way to go. You know, you can't breathe, you know. You know, basically when you go to the ventilator, you are unconscious most of the time. He don't know what is happening. Nobody knows what their people are doing, what they are putting into you. And this is what Prabhupada was saying. Who was the devotee? Kula Shita? He was praying in that way, you know. Please, my Lord, I am still healthy now. Right? Take me away because I can concentrate, I can focus my mind at your lotus feet. You know, not when we are in a miserable situation, when we are old, you know, and I can't breathe properly, and then how can I focus on the lotus feet of your? So we should live our life in such a way, you know, that we can actually go above this materialization. We can understand. We have been reading Bhagavad Gita for so long. We have been listening to so many classes, but we haven't understood the basic. The basic is that we are not this body. Anybody who is attached to his family, his wife, his children, right, understanding that they are yours, anybody who is attached to the country, right, anybody who is fighting for the black, what do you call?
Black Lives Matter.
They are, even if you are a devotee, you have not understood the basic. That you are not this body. We are not this body. The black, the white, the Asian, the Australian, women, men, you know, dog, animal. This is all to do with the body. It is nothing to do with the soul. Soul is separate from that. It's just like when you are doing a play, you are doing a drama, and they give you a certain role. And they make you Narad Muni, for example, right? Narad Muni, Bajayamina, Radhikarama, Namini. So you are chanting like this very nicely, you know, half an hour play, 1 hour play. And then after that you think, oh, I'm Narad Muni now. And that's what our situation is. We have been changing bodies. There's 8.4 million different types of bodies. There are 8.4 million different types of punishments that Maya puts you through. This is what basically is. One day you are in the body of a dog, one next time you are a tree. You know, this is all punishment. That's not your real self. We cannot get attached to this body. We have to go beyond this body. We have to understand this. We are not this body. And anything that is related to the body, if the body is false, if you are not the body, then all the relationship with the body is also empty. So who is your wife? Who is your husband? Who is your children? The bank balance in the account, does it belong to you? The house, does it belong to you? When you leave this body, we work so hard for all these things. We put so much effort into this. And then at the end of the day, everything is finished. We have nothing. We can be nothing when we go with nothing. Even this body is taken away. Either it's fed to the animals, or it is burnt, or you put it in the ground and it becomes those maggots. And that's what it is. So we have to go beyond this. We have to understand that we are not this body. Everyone is a spirit soul. Everyone is a servant of Krishna. And then we start helping everybody. Help yourself first by understanding this. And then become a nice devotee so others can learn from you. Any opportunity you get to do service, please do it. But service should be done with the mood that it is to please Krishna. Not that I am doing such nice service, not that I am giving such a nice class, not that I am a president of the temple or I am the, you know, commander of the temple, you know. These are all temporary positions. These are positions that Krishna has mercifully given to you so that you can save him and save his devotees. If you get attached to the positions, I am such a nice husband, you know, I look after this, I am such a good teacher, you know, I got a very good friend of me, who every time he meets, he says, oh, he's a good, very good teacher, you know, the kids love him, you know. He's too good friend to be for me to preach to him, you know. But the truth is that this is all temporary, you know. Who is doing everything? Are we doers of anything? Is the soul the doer? Or everything is carried out by the three modes of material nature? Now if you understand this basic principle that whatever is happening by the three modes of material nature, then you won't blame him on anybody. Because he is not doing it. The material nature is doing it. So what is the person doing? He is just in there, he thinks he is doing it. According to our karma, according to our past desires, we are put in a particular situation. That's it. Who is a husband, who is a wife? When a person leaves his body, before they leave the body, they get already another body. You cannot leave your current body until you know what is your next body. So how do you decide who is your husband? They have to find some similar karma. Okay, that one matches. Okay, you go there. You can take bed in that particular family. Sometimes there are some people in the family, they are so nice. And then you have got a black sheep in the family, right? Who make their life so miserable. Now you look at the Yadu dynasty. Everybody is a devotee of the Lord. And then comes up and makes everybody's life miserable. So we wonder why is that happening? Because we have to suffer certain karmas from them. Now we blame, you know, okay, this is what's happening. Whatever happening in America, you know, everybody blames Trump. You know. This is not Trump's fault. He is just a pawn in the hands of the Maya Devi. You know. That's what it is. He's playing the thing. You know. Just like, you know, the situation here. Right now. We say, oh, the Prime Minister is responsible for everything. With this virus going on, what control does he have? Now a premier, you know, lockdown certain subjects and things like that. What control does he have? Nothing. It's just this virus is controlling everything. Isn't that right? We have no control over anything. So we have to understand this. Either we are in control of Maya, or we can choose to be under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. That's your choice. That's the little bit of independence that Krishna has given us. Whom you want to serve? You want to serve his energy? Maya Devi separate from him, or you want to say Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what we have to do. So we should devote as much time as possible in the association of devotees, so we can learn from them, because they have already realized it. You know, you look at these gurus. You know, it's like my spiritual master, this is what Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say. I didn't have any children, you know. But Krishna has given me so many now. I've got thousands of disciples. To him, it didn't really matter. They go and preach to anybody who wants to actually listen to Krishna voices. To them, everyone is important. Everybody is children of Krishna. Everybody should get out of this material world. That's the mood we have to actually live in. We may not be as great as the spiritual master, but we can do it on a small, you know, you look after the family. Those who are the people, those who are living in the temple. Treat everybody who comes nicely. They are here as Radha Vallabha's, Gaurita's guests. Our job is to facilitate them. Krishna has given the position they might be the host. But we are not the host, we are just representing Radha Vallabha. Give them nice prasadam, talk to them, you know. When somebody comes to your place, do you go and talk to them? Do you spend some time with them? So many times people come here, there's no one to talk to. We should make them welcome, so they want to come again. This is our service to the devotees who are here. Whatever your mood is, make sure there's prasadam always available. Prabhupada used to say that you should cook for 5-6 people prasadam all the time. Somebody comes, give them prasadam. When they are finished, we cook another lot for next devotees. And in the end, if there is nobody there, then whoever is there, they eat it. You know? And then nothing is getting wasted. The most powerful thing in this material world at the moment is prasadam distribution. Because once they take prasadam, once they understand taking prasadam, they get purified, they get a bit of security, they get a little bit of faith. And once they have their faith, then they have sadhu sangha. So shraddha comes first. We need to actually give an opportunity where people can have a little bit of faith. Chanting of the holy name, harina, that's very important. Unfortunately, now we can't do all those things. But then there are different ways. Before we used to go and people used to reach a certain number of people. You go to Melbourne, you know, in the city, there might be 5,000, 10,000 people who might hear you. Now with this thing on the internet, thousands of people are listening all over the world. So much harinam going. This is what's going to purify this place. This is what's going to make it Vaikuntha. This is the first 10,000 years of that what Prabhupada said. 500 years has already gone. The other 9,500 is the time when it's the greatest time. Now this is the time when we can actually get out of this material. So that's what our focus should be. Not to make money, not to have a nice house, not to have that. That's not the focus. The focus should be how to get out of here. How to go back to Godhead. This is not our place. We are in the prison. We are in charge of Durga. Durga means one who is the prison people. We have to get out of this prison house and go back to Godhead. My kids get upset when I tell them, you are in the prison. So how can you say that? But that's the truth. We are in the prison. You tell them, you know, they read this, oh, Prabhupada said, you know, this about women or this about men, you know. The women are not intelligent, for example, the China Company said women are not intelligent, you know. But who is a woman? It's just a body. When you get a particular body, you get a particular nature. Nature of the body, of human body, is they're more emotional. The nature of a man is they're more intellectual, they use their brain to do things. That's why men are not attached to too many things. You tell them something, you get a group of women and they want to talk together, they have to be emotionally connected to work together. Men, yeah, they can do that, it's alright. Because that's the nature. But we should not get attached that I'm a female, I'm a male. Because that's where you are now. That's the road you are climbing. We are jivas. We are the marginal energy. We are the servant of the Lord. So that's what the focus should be. The focus should be how to get out of this prison and go back to Godhead, go back to Krishna, where we can save Him with love and devotion. I was thinking about the point I was driving about how much Krishna loves us. You look at Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, it's Rath Yatra going on at the moment. He lives, I was reading the past times, how he lives, you know, why he does the Rath Yatra. His desire is to go and see the devotees in Vrindavan. Now, we know how most of the time we have heard of the pastime where I think it's in Kurukshetra or in Dwarka, where the Krishna is always chanting Radharani's name, Gopi's name, is thinking about the Brajvasis. And the Rani is the queen of them who are serving him so nicely, they're always thinking, why is he always talking about who are these people? So they approached Rohini Devi. Rohini is one of those fortunate souls who has been in both places. So she understands the mood of the Brajvasis. And then she said, tell us about the Brajvasis. Why is Krishna always hankering for them? Why is Krishna always thinking of them? Why is Krishna talking about them? Rukmani says that Krishna is always talking in the sleep. And Satyabhama says, what are you saying he's talking when he's asleep? He's always talking about them even when he's awake. You know? Forget about when somebody is sleeping in his sleep. And he's talking about them also when he's awake. So Rukmani says, you know, I can tell you this. But the thing is that if Krishna and Balaram, you know, they listen about this, you know, they feel very happy. So they go to a place, they put Subhadra as one of the guards at the door to make sure that Krishna and Balaram do not come. And they tell them, then Rukmini Devi is telling about the pastimes of the Brajvasis. And then wherever they spoke about Krishna and his devotees, you know, Krishna immediately comes there. So Krishna gets attracted to it, Balaram comes there, and they form that beautiful form of Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. So that's how they got that form, right? In the aesthetic mood, in separation of the bread bosses. But then I was reading a book or a lecture given by Gaur Govinda Maharaj, where he said there's another pastime which is similar to that. He said once upon a time, Krishna basically did not wake up in the morning. So he was lying in the bed, you know, he was thinking, you know, he was in so much separation of the Brajvasis. So Krishna was saying, so Uddhava knows his situation and Narada Muni was there. So they looked at Krishna and they understood that, okay, he's not in Dwarka today. You know, he's physically in Dwarka, but he is mentally, emotionally, he's in Braj. And they said that, you know, Krishna is basically being unconscious, you know. So he said, what do we do? To actually revive him, Uddhava knows that we have to change Radharani's name in Krishna's ear and he will wake up out of this. But they knew that as soon as he was going to get up, he would want to go to Braj. And Balaram came there as well, they explained the situation and he said, what do we do? He said, if he wants to go to Braj, then we should get a chariot ready for him. So they said, yeah, this is a good idea. When Krishna gets up, we're going to put him in a chariot and go. But then Narada Muni said, but there's a problem there. Uddhava said, I've been to Braj and the situation in Braj is very bad. People are suffering so much. If Krishna goes there and sees the situation of all the Brajvasis, he would never want to leave. He'll never come back, right? So what we have to do is, why don't one of us go back, go to Braj and inform them, get them prepared that Krishna is coming so that or at least it's much, much better than what their current situation is. Then they discussed and they said, I think this is a good idea. Uddhava, I think we should go, right? And Uddhava said, whatever you're saying is very good. But I've already been there once. And when I was there for 3 months, I preached to them, don't worry, Krishna is coming, I'll make sure I send him. And every time I tell Krishna to go, Krishna says, okay, I'm going. He's never going enough. So, how would they believe me? You know, why would they believe me? I've already lied to them. They'll say, oh, this is another one, you know. You know? Each other was sending before he would, nothing would happen. And then Balaram said, I would have loved to go, but my situation is same, you know. I was there for 2 months, I told Mother Yashoda, don't worry, I'm going to bring Lala. And every time I pray to Krishna, same thing. I'll go, you know. When he goes, he hasn't still gone, you know. Why would they believe me, you know? So at that time, Subhadra Devi comes, you know. Subhadra says, she explained the situation to us. Subhadra says, okay, I'll go there because I'm a woman, right? They'll believe me. I'll sit down in Mother Yashoda's lap and I'll explain to her, don't worry, she's coming. And because we are women, you know, men are always lying, you know. You know, you can't trust them. You know, who have said this, you know, for an answer. But don't worry, now. I understand your the situation, and I will. So, they got a challenge ready for Subhadra Devi. So, Subhadra says, and what Balaram said, what? My younger brother is going, my sister is going, I'll go as well, right? So, they got a challenge ready for him. So, then they said, okay, what we're going to do is, Balaram, he go first with Subhadra Devi. So that's why Balaram's chariot goes first. And Subhadra Devi's chariot follows it there. And you go there and tell all the Vrajvasis that Krishna is coming. Prepare them nicely so they can receive him nicely. Right? And then we'll wake up Krishna. So Narada Muni goes, you know, once they have already left, Narada Muni goes to Krishna and starts chanting Radharani's name in Krishna's ear. Krishna wakes up, you know, as soon as he hears Radharani's name, you know, he says, oh, where's my fruit? Where's my fruit? You know, he stands up in three bhanga form, you know, just like our Balava is standing in three, bent in three different places. Right? So he stands up like this. Now, this is the form of Braj. It is not the form of Dwarka. Right? Then he says, where's my fruit, you know? Where's my fruit? Who took my fruit? The gopis took my fruit again, you know? And he's talking like this, and he looks at Uddhava. Hey Uddhava, what are you doing in Braj? Right? And then he looks at Narada Muni. Narada Muni, you are here too. And then he looks around and he realizes he's not in Braj, but he's in Dwarka. So he becomes sad, you know? And then Uddhava says, my lord, we knew that this is going to happen to you, you know. You were thinking about the Vrajvasis. Look, we have got your chariot ready. Right? And Balaram and Subhadra have already gone to inform everybody that you are coming. So please, let's go. Right? So if you have the good thing about this phone and technology and everything is that you can see what's happening even though you are not there. So you see when Jagannath is coming out of there, he's shaking like this, you know. Because he's so intoxicated, he's so much in separation. So when he walks from there, he's not walking straight, he's walking like a drunken man. And that's how you see Jagannath is coming out of the temple when he goes on the chariot. So Uddhava and Narada Muni, they get hold of him and somehow or the other, they guide him to the chariot, they put him on the chariot. So then they call Daruk. Daruk is the chariot, right? So he says, take him, you know, chariot. And Daruk takes him to the speed of the mind, you know. So basically, he is there, you know. So as Krishna is going there, Balaram and Subhadra have already arrived there. Right? So when they look at the condition of the Vrajvasis, how much their separation in there, you know. And what happens to Dauji? He becomes like that, in a steady form, right? Subhadra Devi sees the situation there, same thing. So she was saying, I'm going to go and inform Mother Yashoda, you know, forget about sitting in her lap and telling her that Mother Krishna is coming. They already stand in that form of Jagannath and Subhadra Devi. Meanwhile, the situation in Vrindavan is very the devotees are in separation. But the heart of all the devotees is Radharani. Because that's why everybody is chanting Radhe Radhe. And the Radharani situation is so bad that she is so much in separation that she cannot live anymore. And the whole Braj is thinking that she is about to leave her body. And she is lying in the lap of her Sakhi, Lalita Devi, in her palms. Her body is so frail that even her maid servants, they don't want to even put the fan because the wind can eventually destroy her. You know, such miserable condition. You know. And she's telling the Sakis, you know, please take me to one of the under the trees of at the bank of Yamuna, because that's a very favorite place. You know, every morning we chant Jamunachari, you know. At the bank of the Yamuna. put me there and get the mud from Yamuna and cover my whole body with the dust of, and then on the dust write Shyam's name everywhere. And when I'm about to leave my body, just then Shyam, Shyam, so I can leave my body and basically be his eternal servant. The gopis, the pradbhasis are suffering so much. Mathura is not that far away, but they do not tell Krishna to come back. Because they are doing, the way they are trying is that we don't desire anything other than your full satisfaction. So they are praying to Krishna, if it only makes you happy, then come. Otherwise, you stay wherever you are. We are going to stay in your separation. So this is the condition of Radharani. And by the potency of Yoga Maya, Krishna arrives there. And when Krishna sees Radharani in that situation, his eyes becomes big, his hands shrinks into his legs, shrinks into his body, and he falls down on the ground. He becomes like a wood, and is floating in the Rasa Bhava, the mood of separation of Radharani. And then as soon as they see this, the fragrance of Krishna is carried by the wind onto Radharani. And as soon as she smells the fragrance of Krishna, she wakes up and she sees a prana there. And this is the form of Lord Jagannath. I like this one better than the other one because this is Brajvila. This is happening in Braj. This is happening in front of Radharani. And this is the bhav, this is the wooden form that Krishna is so floating in the ocean of Radha Bhav, of Braj Bhav. So I was thinking, you know, Krishna misses his devotees so much. By his mercy, he lets us have them for a little while. Now Prabhupada was here for a while, you know. There's so many devotees, you know. Gaur Govinda Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. These are not ordinary people, they came here to be with us, to help us to actually go back to Godhead, to understand. We should take this opportunity, follow them, read whatever they are giving, so that we can actually get inspired to go back and be with them. Our life should be devoted like this. We shouldn't be running after money, we shouldn't be running about all these things. Because everything is temporary. The day you leave, you know, $1 million in the bank has no value. You can take the next bag and start with zero again. So those who are fortunate, we have been very fortunate. We, out of billions of people in the world, we have been handpicked, we have been selected some or the other to actually come in contact with these pure devotees. Especially those who have taken initiation, you know. This is not an ordinary thing. One of the biggest gifts that Prabhupada has given us. So take this opportunity now. The COVID is one of the best things here. To me, I think it's one of the greatest things that happened since I started my job. You know. This is the time I sit down, I've been able to do more service, you know, change more Prabhupada. You know. Otherwise, we just run after, you know, days pass, you know, get too tired, and you know, every day is back to normal. You know. And those who are here in the temple, please take this opportunity, you know. This might not last forever. Tomorrow, you know, Maya Devi or some other Devi might get, you know. And that's it, you know. You get married, you move out, you know, the whole life changes, the whole situation changes, you know. So rather than serving Krishna, you know, we start serving us. So use this opportunity, change your arms nicely. But of all of them, the most important thing is association of the devotees, sadhu sangha. So whatever way form you can take it, either by personal association, vani or bhakti, you know, of the vani is more important. You know. So let's hope we can make the best use of our time in this difficult time. Let's pray to Lord Krishna, you know, for the welfare of all the devotees. You know, it's not only few of the, you know, as far as the pure devotees are concerned, whether they are here or there, it doesn't really matter. Those who are, you know, still under the control of Maya, you know, still haven't understood that they are not this body, they are the soul. They haven't understood that we are servant of Krishna and our rightful constitutional position is in the lotus feet of the Lord. Let's pray for them, help them in any way. You know, there are different ways you can do service. Give them a flower, just give them a little bit of love, give them some prasadam, you know, just smile at them. You know, just make them feel comfortable, make them feel welcome, you know. Even if they like a devotee, you know, they have mind progress. Once Prabhupada was walking, somebody said, good morning to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, see, he has made so much advancement just by wishing. Well, wishing for devotee. So if you become light bulb, you know, that's also saving Krishna. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay. Any questions, any comments? Gajra Sura Bhagavatam ki jaya, Prabhupada ki jaya.